Hello and welcome to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, here with you every Tuesday, right around lunchtime, and of course, on the Voice of Vashon at voiceofvashon.org/programs and shows. Real Talk is the show, I like to say, seeks answers to questions large and small, though there don't seem to be any small questions anymore these days. Today, I am joined with excitement by Peter Serko, who is playwright and executive producer of World AIDS Day here on Vashon Island. Welcome, Peter.
Good afternoon.
And Chris Basha, who is director of the play that is going to be performed on World AIDS Day here on Vashon Island.
That's right. It's called Out.
Called Out. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you.
Thank you both for taking the time, because I know your time is pretty well consumed right now by getting ready for December 1st. So tell us what's happening.
Well, there's a lot happening. December 1st, of course, is the annual commemoration of World AIDS Day. That's an international celebration of World AIDS Day. And this is our second year on Vashon doing something for World AIDS Day. So like last year, we have a whole series of events planned.
So, yeah. And I remember last year was a big blowout, and you really just made a great event out of it. What motivated you to do this again, Peter?
I blame David Godsey, because he said, I ran into him at the O Space, probably April or May, and he said, hey, are we going to do this again this year? And I thought, well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, and that was it. And we're doing it again, and we're doing it in a big way, just like we did last year. So we have, you know, a number of events.
So, yes, let's start with the play that you wrote titled Out.
Right, right.
When and where is that going to be performed?
First of all, it's staged reading, which is not a full production, and that's going to be on Friday, November 29th and Saturday, November 30th at the Vashon Island High School Theater at 7 o'clock.
And Chris Basha, you are directing this play. What brought you to it?
Well, I was part of last year's World AIDS Day. I was a performer in the Normal Heart, and I knew how important that weekend was for our island. And, you know, I would bump into Peter here and there throughout the year, and earlier this year, we talked about different things that we could possibly come up with for this next year. I guess he had already run into David and knew that he was going to be doing something this year. We didn't know whether we wanted to do a new play or something already written, something to commemorate World AIDS Day. So we took a look at David's one-man show. I kissed Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I kissed Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. We looked at that and we started fleshing it out, and we turned it into a 6-character play. And that's where we just started collaborating. We would meet once a week over the summertime. We'd fine tune it. I'd throw him ideas. He'd email me the next day with a completely rewritten script. We'd work on it. We'd read it out loud. We'd think about casting it and whatnot. And that's how I got involved. So I'm really very excited about this. Anytime we can put together a new work, I get very excited about it. So
Peter, give us the gist of the story behind Out.
First of all, it's based on a true story, and it's based on my brother David. My brother David died of the complications of AIDS in November of 1992. Actually, we celebrated the 27th anniversary of his death
on the first day of our rehearsal.
Our first day of rehearsal on Saturday. Yeah, so. David's death was just a very profound experience for me, it took me about 20 years to kind of make sense of it, the whole thing, and I ended up starting this thing called the David Serko Project in 2012, where I wanted to find out more about my brother's life. I'm 6 years older than him, and growing up, I was pretty much gone when he was in high school. When I left school to go to college when I was 18, he was in sixth grade. He was 12 years old. And so I missed basically everything, unfortunately. And I wanted to know more about my brother's life. And so I did this thing called the David Serko Project. And I ended up finding, you know, 100 of his friends, and people shared stories, and I ended up turning it into a one-man play that I did in 2014. I actually performed it here, took the show home to my hometown in upstate New York, and had done it a number of other times. And so I thought I was done with it. And I was trying to be done with it. And then I ran into David Godsey, and then I ran into Chris. And because I had been thinking, I really wanted it to live beyond the solo kind of format. And I hoped if it would ever live beyond me, it had to be in a different format.
So is it the same story, or
it's a fictionalized, slightly fictionalized version that happens in the future, in a galaxy far, far away. It's slightly fictionalized, and it tells a few of the same stories that are that were part of the solo show, but it it just does it in a different way, and. So that's it.
You know, one of the challenges I have found and recognized among others is that to take a story that of your own that is very personal and then turn it into something that has universal appeal or universal connection. How did you guys go through that process? I'm betting Chris might have been some help here.
Right. There was a lot of thinking about what needed to be said and what could be just shown on stage. So I did a lot of work with Peter on that. So he would write something out, for instance. He would say, so I agitatedly ran to the door, and I said, well, why can't you just go to the door and get rid of agitation? Let me do that. You know, I can do that. I can do that with the actors. So we did a lot of that. I'm sorry, what was the question?
The question was, how do you make something so personal be universal?
Right. So, you know, it's a funny thing. This is a very nostalgic play in many ways, set in the future. I believe it's 2034, where something like Facebook is a distant memory, and it's nostalgic, and it's a laugh line. That is one thing. And the other thing is that it's a very funny play and a very personal play. And what's different about this play, which really, really excites me, is that this is not a play about politicizing the horrors of AIDS. This is a play about personalizing it. And in that way, we make it funny and we make it recognizable. There are characters. I mean, there's scenes that take place in a Northwestern co-op. There's scenes that take place in New York City at Lenox Hill Hospital. And we joke a lot about life back in the 80s, 90s, and the turn of the century in this play, which I think is, it's universal. I think we can look at this and laugh at some of these characters and also cry with them. And that's what we did. That's what we did. And you know, this isn't a reading as much as it is a staged reading. We do stage some of the wonderful moments in David's life.
So you guys have put together a compendium, if you will, of events to recognize. I hate to say celebrate World AIDS
Day, it's commemorate the good word to use for that. Sure.
So a lot of folks would think that AIDS is under control. It's not a big deal anymore. Mm-hmm. Why do this? Why keep doing this?
Well, first of all, AIDS is still here and it's still very real. And in some areas, it's you know, still a major health crisis. 38 million people have died around the world since 1981. And there's about 38 million people living with HIV around the world. You know, much of it is in sub-Saharan Africa and those countries. But it's still here. It's still real. It's still gone and not gone. So even though it's disappeared from public discourse, it's still a very relevant thing. And one of the things that I've been really working very hard on, and what we did last year in World AIDS Day and this year, is to try to bring the story to younger people. That's hard work.
How are you doing that?
We're doing two programs in the schools here on Vashon. We're doing a program at McMurray in the seventh grade social studies in a collaboration with Julie Jaffe in the library. And it's called, so I'll give you the official title of it. It's called The Rest of the Story, HIV and Gender Equality in Sub-Saharan Africa. In seventh grade, the students study Africa. And what we're doing is we're kind of introducing the idea of, you know, what impact did AIDS and HIV have in Africa? And in particular, one of the big issues there is young women. About 6,000 young women every day in Africa contract HIV.
Every day.
Yeah, yeah. It's a frightening kind of thing, and it has to do more with, you know, the status of women in those countries and lack of education, poverty, abuse, you know, lack of opportunities, all sorts of things. So that we have two women here who are on the island, Ann Lewis and Kate O'Kane, who is also in our cast.
Yes,
who are experts in this matter. Spend a lot of time in Africa. Kate continues to work on those issues there, and so we're bringing those women in, and they're doing some work with that group.
That's pretty heady stuff for 12-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah, it's being kind of geared to that. So that's why, you know, it's the teachers, the two teachers in the social studies program are actively involved in this. So it's being very well thought out.
Is this happening now? And I ask that because I'd like to know what kind of reaction you're getting from the students.
No, that's going to be happening after it's next week after Thanksgiving. Yeah, so that program is happening there. So that's a very exciting program.
Yeah.
And then at the high school, we're doing in the library, and this is in conjunction with the Heritage Museum and the In and Out exhibit there. And it's called "This Is What Activism Looks Like: The Activist Photography of Dana Sherholtz." And Dana Sherholtz is a woman who lives here on Vashon, who was a member of the AIDS activist group called ACT UP back in the 80s and 90s. My brother was a member of ACT UP also, and Dana, being a photographer, has captured just amazing images of the activist activities during that time. So we're having a photography exhibit in the library throughout the month of December of her work. And Dana will be speaking a couple of times during a smart period or in the libraries talking about what she's done there.
I like that it's called the smart period.
Yeah, right.
That's when kids get to explore.
Well,
issues.
They do. Yeah. It's a good thing. And then at the Heritage Museum on December 6th, the first Friday in December, is an opening of an exhibit of her work there to coincide with the In and Out exhibit. So that's how we're reaching down and doing some work with young folks.
I have a question that may seem impertinent, but a lot of folks see AIDS as a problem of the gay community. How are you, or what is your sense of how people outside that community are responding to the statistics that you offer, to the information that you're providing about the fact that AIDS is not confined to the gay community?
Well, once again, you know, it's basically disappeared from public discourse. It doesn't mean that there's not a lot of international work being done, because this could easily rear its ugly head again in a very significant way.
What would cause that? Do you have any idea?
Well, for example, there in Africa, there are about 24 million people who have access. Now, that doesn't mean they're taking everything, but they're the new antiretroviral drugs, the drug cocktail, if you will, has been very successful at suppressing the virus. So basically, people have no viral load, which means they can't transmit it. If you stop taking those drugs or you don't take those drugs in the right way that you're supposed to take them, that will not, will, the virus will return. You will eventually die, but you can also transmit. One of the challenges in Africa is making that accessibility happen. And people are poor. People have to walk 3 days to get to a clinic. You run out of money, so you start, rationing your things. You're getting some from somebody else. This is being managed. This has not been cured. So you have 24 million people who are being managed in some way. And it doesn't take many people going off management to allow that to mushroom again. And within certain groups, particularly young women, it's a serious, it's a very serious problem.
So are you saying that Africa is the current locus of the AIDS epidemic, if you will? And I can hear Americans saying, so what? They're in Africa. They're not here. How does what's happening in Africa affect American people?
Well, we're in spite of what, the kind of current rhetoric that's, happening in our country, we are a global community.
Mm-hmm.
And it just does. I'm sure somebody more articulate about it couldn't be more specific about it. But, many of the same issues are happening here. It does, it's still in some communities, in some states, it's much, much higher. I thought it was interesting. I looked this morning, Texas has the highest rate. Florida has the highest rate. New York has a very high rate. And California does a high rate, and you could sort of predict about New York and San Francisco and California areas, high incidence of gay men. But Florida and Texas, that's interesting.
Are they
it's not necessarily urban. It's poverty, and then you lay on the opioid epidemic, which is not under control by any means. Mm-hmm. Sharing of needles is still something, and that is a transmission route. So, it's all the ingredients are always there. Again, it's not cured. It's managed. And the cost of management here is very high. In Africa, they've gotten the cost. I can't quote you the cost, but let's just say it's something like $6 a day. I think it's less, here. It's probably $100 a day.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who's HIV positive and managing his disease quite well, and it's cost him $68,000 a year. He has insurance.
That's unbearable. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, so. You're listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. And I'm Susan McCabe, your host for Real Talk, and I'm talking today with Peter Serko, who is a playwright, and Chris Basha, who is director. These two folks have put together a commemoration of World AIDS Day that's going to happen before and up to December 1st. And we're talking about AIDS, why we should still be paying attention. What do we know about the future of AIDS, AIDS research? Is it going to a cure, or because it's lost its position in public discourse, have we dropped research on AIDS?
I think it's still very actively going on. Again, it's, the current political climate in the United States is not advantageous. For example, places like Planned Parenthood become targets, and Planned Parenthood does more than provide, abortion services. It provides, medical care for young women. Birth control, and certainly that's an important variable. So there's just lots of things, on the surface you could say, oh, we should get rid of this. This is, they're doing the wrong thing, but it's, in the broader picture, those are important. So there is a lot going on.
Are people still researching the potential for curing AIDS?
Yes, they are. And there's a lot of money going into it by various foundations around the world. So even though the United States may not be stepping back and not doing what they have done in the past, and to give all credit to President George Bush, the second President George Bush, he did some significant help significantly in that area. So there is hope. There's definitely hope. And so that part of what we're trying to do here, though, in World AIDS Day is celebrate also. So all of these events are not somber events, and the play is definitely, my solo show and this show has humor in it. I did not want this to be a somber event. Who wants to come to something that's just, you know, a dreary thing?
We couldn't make it a somber play because David wasn't a somber person. I mean, even till his final days, he was cracking jokes about where his funeral was going to be and how it was going to be decorated and whatnot. So it was impossible to do a somber play about death when we had such a fantastic, funny guy at its center.
Well, and death is just the ending. It's really about lives and how they're lived.
Sure,
sure. And this is about my brother's legacy. This is my brother's legacy. And, you know, who could have predicted that? I've never done any of this kind of stuff before, although I've done a solo show, so I guess I can't see, I've never done anything.
You're kind of becoming a pro.
Done this before, but this is not something this is not like what I've done. This is not my background. I don't have any experience in this. And so it demonstrates that one, you know, you can do things that you don't think are possible, just by, you know, putting your nose to the grindstone and being honest and finding the right people to work with. So I'm really just so pleased that Chris is working with me. And
I think what we discovered through collaborating on this script is that it's not just an homage to David, but it's actually a love story between two brothers. And it really, really is beautiful in that way. So that's what I'm trying to bring out with these. Can I mention the actors, by the way?
Please, we're gonna,
we have mm-hmm. a great slew of actors. I mean, we've got little Gabriel Dawson, who's going to be off and conquering the world, probably Broadway. He's graduating this year, but he's one of the central figures in the play. We have Kevin McMurdo, who has not been on stage in 40 years, and now he's back and at it. We have David Mielke, who just this weekend performed in Gaborey. An incredible actor, yes. And we have Cato Kane, who Peter just mentioned. Deidre Witt Dakota, and my dear friend Alma Viegas. They play denizen of the Pacific Northwest, New York City, and it's just a really dynamic and inclusive group of people, and I'm confident that they will have you in the aisles laughing.
So let's talk about exactly what events are happening, when, and how people can attend.
Great. Thank you. Because what I haven't mentioned yet is our event that's actually happening on World AIDS Day, December 1st, and that's at O Space at 4:00.
Thanks to David Godsey.
Thanks to David, and it's called Let's Dance, and it's a musical tribute to David Bowie, and we're going to have a whole bunch of really fabulous island performers do musical tributes to David Bowie. And last year we did Freddie Mercury, and I think that just shocked us all.
It
was just over the top. So this year promises to be equally good. So you can get tickets to that at openspacevashon.com. Everything else is free. The stage reading Friday night, November 29th, and Saturday night, November 30th, are free. We will certainly accept donations at the door because we are ultimately raising some money for local nonprofits. So last year we donated over $2,000 to a number of organizations, and some of them here on Vashon. So
also, we urge everybody to although the tickets are free for the play out, we urge everybody to get tickets online at Vashon. WorldAIDSDay.org.
That's on WorldAIDSDay.org, where you can get tickets for the performance of Out Friday and Saturday, Friday, November 29th,
right.
Saturday, November
30th.
Black Friday.
Celebrate, come celebrate Black Friday with us. Yeah. So it's going to be a fun weekend, and I really have to pinch myself that we're doing
You're
it.
Doing it again.
We're also, doing it again.
It is also impressive. A multimedia show. We do have some great sound of the actual man that we're celebrating, and we have some video footage. Peter is quite a videologist, but and he has chronic. It is there are some images that he used in his one man show that we are also using to show the passage of time and whatnot. So it is. It's going to be a visually stunning play as well. So we're very excited.
Well, I'm sure our listeners are excited as well. Peter Serko, Chris Basha, thank you so much for doing this, for bringing World AIDS Day to us, for commemorating those folks who passed. Are there any folks that you, either one of you, remember who have passed due to AIDS? And would you like to just say something about one of those people who really impressed your life?
Yes. Well, another reason that I'm doing this play is that I have a dear friend from college named Spencer Cox, who was not single-handedly, but a huge, huge fact. He saved many, many, many lives. And as it turns out, everybody knew Spencer. Everybody knew David. Everybody knew
Matt.
Ebert. So I would like to shout out to Spencer, always to Spencer. He passed away a few years ago as well after devoting his life to saving other people's lives. But it's just such a coincidence, or is it, that that these two folks probably ran into each other somewhere in New York way back in the day.
They did?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Spencer was a member of ACT UP in New York, and Spencer was a part of a treatment action group,
yep.
An ACT
Tag.
UP. And they are one of great stories of the movement is activists helped to bring about the drugs that we have now that are saving people worldwide. It was the activists that helped make that happen. They learned the science, they worked behind the scenes, and Spencer was a key figure in that effort.
And right. They were people who were personally deeply involved, but they weren't all gay, folks.
Correct.
It isn't just about the gay
Absolutely
community.
Not. And lots of women were involved.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you see what's happening on the island now and everywhere with this, we can't stand this anymore activism that's going on. I mean, we do have a lot to learn about from AIDS as well. How to scream out loud, how to get things done. And I think that might appeal to the younger generation as well, back to your original question.
Good point, yeah. Chris. Good point. Peter Serko, Chris Basha, I can't thank you enough for the time you've taken with us today and for putting together this incredible weekend to commemorate World AIDS Day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, here with you every Tuesday and on the web at voiceofvashon.org. Thanks for listening.